I recently did a Twitter space on the IDW specifically, and I think we titled it something like, the IDW, is it a right-wing rebrand or truly heterodox? And I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but like the conclusion we came to, shockingly, was the fact that they're just like right-wingers trying to rebrand themselves. And it's been done before, even in the New York Times. Apparently, like 20 years ago, there was another article that was put out like this, like, oh, these are the new conservatives, but they're like not like the other conservatives. You know, these ones are hip and cool. And I think Laura Ingraham was in that batch. And like, I mean, anyone that is following things knows that Laura Ingraham is nothing but extremely right wing now.
Mm.
So these rebranding attempts are things that they have attempted like time and time again. And you even saw that from like InfoWars, Paul Joseph Watson. Do you remember him?
Oh God. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. He tried to do this thing where he would be like, conservative is the new punk rock.
Yes, I do remember. I do remember all this. I think I saw him once in Victoria Station, just sort of ambling around. He's a lot taller than I expected, but he also like has a hunchback. All of which to say, I don't know whether it was him, but I do think it was like a very funny sight to sort of see him like ambling around the W.H. Smiths of Victoria Station, presumably like looking for a sandwich or something, and just kind of looking like incredibly disheveled. All of which to say, but what seems very interesting, and actually maybe this is like another good starting point, because like the connection between New Atheism and this sort of like heterodox IDW movement, whatever, like I don't even really want to call it a movement, but this like grouping, I suppose, like there is a sort of relationship between the two. And I am sort of interested in how that changes, not least because like for some of that IDW group, their sort of views on like religion has changed, like, but I don't even know whether it's changed, because I feel like they still sort of these were sort of like Islamophobic tendencies, the anti-Islam tendencies that were very much present in New Atheism and animated much of it, is still very much present in this heterodox movement now. But rather than kind of like adopting this like New Atheist sort of at least the sort of aesthetic of, you know, the kind of belief in scientific progress and the idea that like religions in general sort of are antithetical to that, but some religions are like more hostile to that than others, they mm-hmm. seemingly have taken the view of like, actually religion is great, except if you're a brown person, then your religion is sort of an existential threat. And
not if you're a Hindu nationalist though.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like in some of those cases, at least from like what I've read, it's like they kind of, because, you know, because again, like another aspect of like the heterodox ideas, kind of the sort of increasingly kind of sort of violent reactionary politics to immigration. And so I feel like the Hindu nationalism element is more of a sort of, you know, here is an example of where like violent nationalism against the people that we don't like seems to have political purchase. But yeah, I was sort of interested more broadly in like how you conceptualize the relationship between the New Atheism of like the 2010s and the sort of, or like the early 2010s. And then what we have is like this kind of conservative rebranding in the late 2010s, especially. And I feel like, again, as much of this is like it's marked by the election of Donald Trump. And from what I've sort of seen, or at least the way that Barry Weiss kind of like frames it in the article, that this was a, like, because like the way that she frames it is like, this is a group of like very online intellectuals that uniquely understand like, you know, the people and the motives behind the voting of Trump, but the mainstream media like don't get. So I wondered whether you could talk a little bit about the relationship between those two movements.
Yeah. So they often try to portray themselves, the IDW, as a diverse set of online intellectuals, but that was also part of the rebranding, right? Like they even had this incredibly terrible chart that somebody made that so many of these massive figures retweeted, like completely non-skeptically. It was like just picture like a basic table with red and green, and it's like Ben Shapiro, is he liberal on this issue? And it had like a bunch, I can't remember what issues. And like Ben Shapiro was like, according to the chart, liberal on like everything, even gay marriage. if I remember correctly. And so Ben Shapiro's row was like almost completely green. Maybe there was like one red for like some kind of religious aspect of his personality. I don't remember, because that's something they like to tout about how so many of them are atheists. Excuse me. So many are atheists, yet they're willing to reach across the aisle and have these like rational discussions with someone so different to them, like Ben Shapiro. Mm. But what they never talk about is that they never ever dwell on the differences in religious views, almost never. What they do dwell on is their like completely unified view in how wokeness is destroying the world and how leftists are the problem. And so like, it doesn't matter if they disagree on religion. Occasionally they would have like a token sort of disagreement with Jordan Peterson on religion, and people would be like, see, they do disagree, but like they don't. Aside from that one thing, they never spend any time disagreeing on anything. And so, yeah, so all those rows on that table were like green for all of them, implying like mostly green. And there was like maybe one red row for like one person here, one person there. And this table that they've retweeted was supposed to show that these are all actually liberals. So, I mean, the science and logic and skeptical crew just throw that completely out when it comes to like a confirmation bias, right? What they want to believe is that they are the true liberals that are just like too rational and reasonable, and the left has become unhinged. And that's like some recent development. Like, you know, before the left was fine, but it's just now the left has just gone too far. These are people that haven't changed. And like, that's a thing that like Bill Maher has been doing for decades. And I wrote a piece on him where like I looked into his content in more detail. And I think it was like, I looked at a stand-up routine that he did like 20 years ago. And he had the same bit that like the left has gone too far. Just now it's gone too far. He's always been a good liberal, and he's always been on side, but just now they have gone too far and made it like so difficult to be a man. And like, it's all these themes that keep repeating themselves.
I got like a list of the people who were apparently part of like the IDW Avengers crew, whatever you want to call them. And it was a quite a bizarre mix. So I'm going to read them out. So we've got Ion Hersiali, Glenn Greenwald, Sam Harris, Heather Haig, Claire Lehman, Bill Maher, Douglas Murray, Majid Nawaz, Camille Parley, Jordan Peterson, Steven Pinker, Joe Rogan, Dave Rubin, Ben Shapiro, and then Michael Shermer, Christine Hoff Sommers, Brett Weinstein, and Eric Weinstein. But there were also like adjacents, and I think you mentioned this too, but there were some people who like were sort of offended that they weren't kind of classified as IDW types. Who was it? Yeah. Gadsad being one of them. And I wondered like, yeah, could you like what I was wondering like whether that suggests anything, like who sort of gets left out and stuff. And like why the reasons behind like why they were so offended that like Barry Weiss didn't notice them. Like, is this just the case of like she just didn't see them on the YouTube algorithm, or is there sort of a more ideological reason? Like, were there actually lines in terms of like who gets selected and who doesn't?
Well, I think even in her piece, like Barry Weiss was trying to be cautious about like, you know, I think she included Rubin, but she did caution about how he's been doing some strange things, like crossing over with white nationalist Stefan Molyneux and just like having these friendly chats with him. But then she also was like, but you know, this group was formed on not having these kinds of boundaries. So the very principle of having these like intellectual no-go zones or intellectually no-go people, that would be frowned upon in this group, and it would be like against the very foundation of free speech. So I feel like right there, they're backing themselves into an impossible corner, because you can't also claim to be like these reasonable intellectuals and then also be open to any kind of lunatic from any corner of the internet, just because you're so against not canceling anyone, right? And as we've seen, they have canceled people time and time again. They just don't want the left to cancel any of them.